Foreword by Bob Duco. I first met my friend Lynn Suzek when she began advertising her company on my radio show. I remember we exchanged the obligatory niceties because, well, that's what Christians do. Soon, though, we found ourselves out to dinner together along with our spouses, which moved us to the next level, actually getting to know each other. We went to a fairly nice restaurant, and the waitress asked if anyone at the table would like to order a drink, and I don't mean lemonade. It was the first awkward moment of our new friendship because, after all, how could I order the glass of wine I really wanted when these Christians I hardly knew would surely sit in judgment of me? It was as though I could hear them thinking, "And he calls himself a Christian." Just as I was about to take a breath to say, "I suppose I'll have a root beer," Lynn said, "I'd like a glass of house wine," to which her husband said, "Me too." Goodbye, root beer. We spent a fair amount of time that night talking about legalism in the body of Christ, and as I got to know Lynn more, I realized that she was herself a confessed former judgmental legalist. That's why I think Lynn is the perfect person to address legalism in the church and why this book is so needed in the body of Christ today. One thing Lynn never does in this book is justify sin, let alone condone it. The problem is that we Christians have created a culture today where certain things are considered sin, not because the Bible says so, but just because we've decided it is that way. It's just a sin, period. End of story. Lynn's story and this book are certainly not about alcohol, but about the inconsistent, judgmental, selective, and unbiblical way so many Christians tend to view sin. In the above story given about drinking wine, for example, I can't tell how many countless debates I've had with callers to my show insisting that it is a sin to drink wine. I give them biblical evidence to show that Jesus himself drank wine, real fermented wine. We read that John the Baptist was forbidden from drinking fermented wine and that Jesus came drinking what John the Baptist did not. Jesus said people called him a drunkard, which makes no sense if you're only drinking grape juice. Jesus created fermented wine at the wedding at Cana. Paul rebuked the Corinthians for getting drunk on the communion wine, not for drinking fermented wine, but for abusing it to drunkenness. You don't get drunk on grape juice. Deacons are instructed not to indulge in much wine. If it is grape juice, why does it matter how much they drink? Paul instructs Timothy to take wine for his stomach problems, and the list goes on and on, but it doesn't matter. Once some Christians have decided something's a sin, even Scripture can't change their mind. I've been told, "But wine today is stronger than it was then." Unfortunately, that's irrelevant. Whatever the strength, Jesus, the disciples, Timothy, the Corinthian Christians, and all the rest drank wine with the ability to get them drunk if they drank too much. It's drunkenness that's a sin, not drinking alcohol. In the same way, it's gluttony that's a sin, not eating ice cream. As a former legalist, Lynn is in a perfect position to expose some of the legalistic attitudes and the selective judgmentalism infecting the church today. It's amazing how many Christians will whisper things to each other like, "Did you know Sister So-and-so smokes? Oh, I know, and I heard she plays the lottery too." Meanwhile, they see nothing wrong with their own gossiping, which, the last time I checked, really is specifically condemned in the Bible. I very much appreciate Lynn's willingness to address such a sensitive issue because it is an issue that we Christians must face honestly. We need to recognize the true freedom in Christ we have been given. Does that mean we can freely sin? The apostle said it best when he said, "Should I go on sinning that grace may abound?" Absolutely not. While I would argue that some things we call sin, like drinking wine, are not actually sin according to the Scripture, there are certainly other things that are clearly defined in Scripture as sinful, which we must acknowledge and repent. Unfortunately, many Christians tend to have selective judgmentalism when it comes to real sin too. We tend to view our own temptations, failings, and sinful struggles through the lens of God's grace, but then look down our noses at other Christians whose temptations and failings and sinful struggles are different from our own. I'm hopeful that you will read this book with an open mind and heart, knowing that Lynn's desire is not to judge or condemn, but to encourage and uplift, so that as believers we can learn to extend to each other the very same grace Jesus extends to us. Bob Duco, Detroit's Christian Talk Radio, 103.5 FM. The Bob Duco Show is from 12 to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You can streamline Bob's show worldwide from www.wmuz.com. Bob came to WMUZ in November 2000 from the Christian Coalition in Washington, D.C., where he served as the National Press Secretary. He has been quoted in newspapers throughout the country and appeared on various news, radio, and television shows, such as the Christian Television Network and Inside Edition.